It's so good being back with you guys, and love you to bits. I was early here this morning because I love being with you. The faith dynamic and the flow that is in operation here is absolutely amazing. And I think when you come to a place week in, week out, it's easy to miss what God is actually doing in a way because we get used to it. But I'm blessed to come in from outside, and I'm telling you, it's flipping good. Amen. It really is good, and it's encouraging. And this morning, the picture I've got is you guys are running a great race. And I've just come along like, you know, these people, I like my job because you guys are running the real long, long race. And I just pick up a drink and run for 5 minutes with you and give you a drink. Say, well, you guys carry on. God bless. I'm going home, you know, enjoy it. And it's easy for me in a way. But that's my heart, just to refresh you in the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. There's something God's just been downloading for a week or two into my spirit. Last time I was here, which was just before Christmas, I think, the word God gave me to bring was remember who he is and what he's done. Remember who he is and what he's done. I just want to build on that a little bit this morning. Just had this in my heart running. If your leaders are strong and blessed. And I know that over the years, Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrea have strengthened me in the Lord. We just strengthen one another in the Lord. And they're good things to be strengthened in the Lord. Right, I want to really get into the word quickly now, which requires a change of glasses. Goodness me. And yeah, so there you go. My Limburgs are going to sit there. And, you know, Eddie, is it Eddie Jordan, the Formula One guy wears Limburgs? You know, if you ever see him on the Formula One, there you go. My Gantt jacket sitting there. Right, we're waiting. We're looking. I do it all for you. You don't want me to look ugly, do you? Okay, right, where are we? It's not for me. Amen. Right, okay. I'm going to, really good encouraging thing for you this morning. Now, again, I'm confident in saying that. Please hear my heart. When Pastor Judith phones me and invites me, I have nothing. I have nothing apart from what God has for you. So then I have to go to God and go up the man and say, God, you love your people. This isn't about my ministry. It's not about Dave Shipham at one level. It's about Jesus. And so my job is to get something from God because he loves you and he wants to give it to you. It's not about what I want to bring. It's about what God has for you because you're precious to him. And I want to just give bottles of water out for refreshment today. And in Zechariah 10, Zechariah's in the Bible, by the way. You probably haven't seen it before, but just trust me, it's in there somewhere. Just before the New Testament. In Zechariah 10, it's got a crazy, 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 crazy first line. Because I love the beach and I love hot weather. I love Pisbwin suntan lotion factor 15. I just love laying on the beach and Honolulu music playing in the background, and I just love all of that stuff. So this guy seemed a right twit when he wrote this down. But listen to what he says. He's just come out of winter. He's just come out of storms. He's just come out of ice and snow. And as if he hasn't had enough, it says, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. I thought, you idiot. You do not ask the Lord for rain in springtime. Springtime's a time for the rain to stop, for the sun to come out, for the daffodils to grow, the crocuses, and at last we can take our raincoats off and start to enjoy life. Why are you asking the Lord for rain in the springtime? What's your problem? Are you a depressive? Are you sad? Have you banged your head? Why are you asking for rain? But there's a good reason why he is asking for rain in the springtime. It's the Lord who makes the storm clouds. He gives showers of rain to men and plants of the field to everyone. The idols speak deceit. Diviners see visions that lie. They tell dreams that are false, and they give comfort in vain. Now, when we prophesy and pray over one another, we're giving comfort in the power of the Holy Spirit. You're giving comfort not in your name, but in the name of Jesus that is 100% reliable and will be backed up. When you give comfort in the name of counseling that causes you to look at yourself and relies on psychological things as opposed to things of the spirit, you minister in vain, because only Jesus can bring you to a place of true liberty and freedom. So when we speak, when you speak, don't look at yourself or how many degrees you've got or GCSEs or anything. Look at the power of the Holy Spirit as your qualification to be confident and to minister into other people's lives. So it says that there's people giving comfort in vain. And it says, therefore, the people wander like sheep, oppressed for lack of a shepherd. My anger burns against the shepherds, and I will punish the leaders, for the Lord Almighty will care for his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them like a proud horse in battle. From Judah will come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler. Together they will be like mighty men, trampling the muddy streets in battle, because the Lord is with them. They will fight and overthrow the horsemen. Because the Lord is with us this morning, because the Lord is with you, because the Lord is in this place, because the Lord is in the worship. But here's the thing, it says, I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. I will restore them because I have compassion on them. They will pass, they will be as though I had not rejected them, for I had not rejected them, for I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. In other words, when things go wrong in your life or things you don't understand, it's not because the Lord's rejected you. The Lord's the one that brings you through. We don't always have the answers as to why we go through what we do, but you can guarantee it's not the Lord inflicting sickness or pain. It's the Lord who brings us through in victory. And it says in 11, they will pass through the sea of trouble. They will pass through the sea of trouble. In 12, it says, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and in his name they will walk, declares the Lord. But it says in the New King James Version in 10 verse 1, and this is the thing I want to get to here, ask the Lord for rain in the springtime. It says the thing is for the latter rain. What is the latter rain? The latter rain is a thing you need at the end of spring here. If the seed in the ground is going to produce a crop or a harvest, I really just want to tell you a little bit of a story, because I think it's going to identify with some of your lives this morning. What the enemy wants us to do is to go through winter, tough times in our lives, difficulty, things we don't understand, the winter of our lives, the storms of our lives. He wants us to be battered and drained spiritually and discouraged. The enemy wants us to go through those things, and then we get to the springtime when the storms have calmed and the crocuses come out and a level of peace is restored. And he wants us to just enjoy that the storm's over. I am telling you right here, the enemy just wants you to enjoy that the storm is over. The enemy wants you to enjoy that the storm's over. But God comes along. And he says, if you just let the storm be over and you come into a season that you enjoy the tough times are behind, you will never come into fruitfulness, because it's the outpouring of my spirit and reward and love, the latter rain that produces the fruit from the seed of faithfulness that you sowed into the ground during your tough time. Hear this. Isn't it amazing when you give a tithe? What are you expecting to happen? When you sow something, you're faithful to God in the middle of sickness. You're faithful to God when you don't feel like praying. You are sowing seed. When you're faithful to God in turning up every Sunday and worshipping him, a sacrifice of praise is called, when you don't feel like it. When you're determined that you will trust in the Lord with all your heart, soul and mind, whatever. All of that is sowing seed ready for reward and fruitfulness into the ground. But unless you believe God for the fruit, what God's saying is, don't just settle that the pain is over. Come into the fruit. Come into the reward of your faithfulness and obedience. The New Testament calls it fruit. The Old Testament analogy here, of course, is the latter rain, which was imperative. I don't know if it still is. You guys are more from farming land than I am. Some of you probably, maybe you're closer to it than, mind you, in Warwickshire, we've got a few farms and cows and things walking about a bit, all wishing they lived in Devon and Somerset. God comes along and he says, you see, faithfulness is so important. Doing the right thing when it's going to cost you something is so important. But we often stop there and we don't expect the fruit or reward from it. Now, I just, again, this is very simple this morning, but I know some of you guys have been through a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. But your reward isn't having just survived it. Your reward is an outpouring and fruitfulness in your life in different areas. As a corporate, we've been, as a church in Kenilworth, we've been through so much. Marion and I have been through so much. And the devil just wants me to be happy when I've got peace on all my borders, because the storms at last, the waves are still. At last it's peaceful. Thank goodness for that. No one's rejected me. Thank goodness I haven't got hate mail or a dead pig on my doorstep. Thank goodness. I'm just going to relax and be happy. Peace on all my borders. And Jesus says, don't you dare stop there, because my reward is with me. And I want you now to enter into a season of reward and fruitfulness as a church. Now, this is for me. Can you share this with my church? Because I'm very careful with directional words. I'm just submitting this to you. I believe for you guys as well, what you've been through, because I identify with that, is time for reward and fruitfulness. That isn't just, because, you know, we can stand and encourage each other prophetically, and it sounds good. And of course, we're all happy. You know, if you're depressed, and I say, God's going to come and get you off all your antidepressants, and he's going to give you this, that, and the other. And before I can prove whether it's going to work or not, I just naff off back to Warwickshire, because it doesn't really matter to me too much. That's false ministry. That's the false hope we read about in Zechariah. Because I'm feeding you something. Everyone cheers up if you hear just an encouraging word, but that's not connected to a reality of knowing that this is real. This is how God is. It's his heart for you and me as people to come into reward. He is a good God. We can't just sing about it. We need to enter into. The singing proclaims what is going to happen. The words we sang this morning, I will look back and see that you are faithful. But you know, it can't always be jam tomorrow. At some point in my life, I want jam today. At some point, I want jam today. At some point, I want fruit. I want latter rain to come. Whereas I've entered into the place of peace, I want the latter rain to come and water and produce the crop that I deserve in God. The light is promised to me, whether I deserve it or not, but it's promised to me for my faithfulness. You're a faithful church. You're a faithful people. But do you know hope deferred makes a heart sick? Hope deferred makes a heart sick, it says in the Bible. So we're going to come into a season of, I think, tremendous reward if we will believe God for that. Don't just settle that spring is here and say, aren't the daffodils nice? At least I'm not having rocks thrown at me now. I'm looking at daffodils. The daffodils look nice. Pick some. Shove them in your coat. Enjoy them. I'm always pleased they always arrive before Mother's Day, because it saves me a lot of money when I pick them on the road. Anyway, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. But don't just settle for it's spring. The sun is out. No, I want a holiday on the back of it. I want something good. I want some souls. I want more anointing in my ministry. I want more authority in my area. That's my reward. Now, I'll give you a little example of this. I live just up the road from Warwick University. Warwick University is a massive university. I actually came out of school with very few qualifications. I was actually called the class clown. I don't remember why. And I've always kind of, everything I do in my life has been a work of God's grace. It really has. And I had an opportunity recently. I was looking at other things, how to grow and develop in a ministry and stuff like that. And something came up at Warwick University, because my wife, she graduated a few years ago, and I never thought I'd wear one of those black cloaks and square hats you can put a cake on and all the rest of it. And I kind of was getting really excited, because there was this course that actually I could do. I got references. I was about to apply for it. And I just thought, cool, God, it'd be a real miracle. You know, in your life sometimes you kind of think something you never thought you'd be capable of or able to do. And I thought, suddenly it's possible I could get a degree. Oh, yes, I thought, I'd love to be called Dr. Dave if I extended further on. Dr. Dave is in the house. And I was having all these feelings. Wouldn't it be lovely to get a degree and throw my hat up in the air one day like they all, mind you, health and safety, I think, stops them now doing that. But wouldn't it be, and I was so, and Miriam was excited because she wants me to do well. And this particular degree, I was really excited about because I didn't need certain qualifications you normally need for a degree. And it was actually in something that I'm very interested in. I've read quite a lot of someone called Dr. Caroline Leaf stuff to do how God's created us and how chemicals in our brains and toxic thoughts and connects with the spirit and how praying in tongues affects us. And also I'm interested in that kind of mental health thing, how it's connected to the spirit. When God tells you to rejoice always, it's not just rejoice always. It affects your body. It affects how you are. It affects your spirit. When you pray in tongues, it releases certain chemicals. There's all of these sorts of things that then I just wanted to take some further study. But then I realized when I started to research who this study was based on, it was based on a guy, and it's actually called person-centered counseling. And I got the eebie-jeebies, the eebie-jeebies. I began to realize just in the title, anything that's centered around person is not of God. And I started to do a bit of research on who this guy was that had actually done this thing. And he's actually the son that it's based on. He's actually dead now. He's actually the son of a minister. And he actually rejected God, renounced God, got into humanism. But he's like the devil does, because the devil's stupid. He stole loads of principles of God, like not judging anybody and all the rest of it, threw it into his counseling, nicked God's ideas, took the copyright off, and then formed this course. And now at Warwick Uni they're doing. And I just thought, I can't do this, God. Am I going to spend 5 days a week telling people they can sort themselves out, and then one day a week telling people they can't sort themselves, only God can do it? And if I get my messages wrong Sunday to Monday to Friday, I'm going to be really stuffed, aren't I? But there was a conviction in my spirit, and I thought, I just can't, you know, the powers within and all that other nonsense. But I was disappointed because my square hat wasn't going to happen anymore. My robe wasn't going to happen. But there was something in the ground that got sowed through saying, Jesus, I love you, and my faith isn't for sale, and my love for you isn't for sale, and I will serve you, and I don't care what that means. What that costs, I will serve you forever. The seed in the ground, but I want the latter rain on the seed. And God said to me, he says, Dave, don't trade your robe of righteousness for a black robe. I'd even looked up online. I was going to get a Warwick Uni scarf and wear it down here. Guess where I go? No. Never trade your robe of righteousness for any robe. Here's the next one. Never trade your crown of glory for a square hat. you may be called to get a degree. I'm not knocking that. I'm knocking it. I'm putting it in the context of what was right for my life. So for me, where does this scripture from Zechariah apply? Well, somewhere there, I laid down something that had meant a lot to me because I love Jesus more. Something that would, you know, because the devil's always saying to me, "You got no qualifications." And Jesus came along and he says, I'm gonna give you GA honours. Because this was going to be BA honours. I've got a GA honours, that's my reward. Do you know what that is? God always honours. I've got a GA honours in obedience. I've got a GA honours in love. I've got a GA honours because I serve God. And to have the honour of God. Where does it say that in the Bible? Well, quickly turn to John 12 if you would like to, but if not, just believe. I'm not making this up. This isn't the gospel according to not Dr. Dave. John 12:26, and it says, my Father will honour the one. My Father will give the honour. My Father honours the one who serves me. My Father will give you your honor, Dave. My Father will give you your respect. My Father will give you your self-worth. My Father will give you. My Father will give you. Where is my autumn rain? Where is my victory? I can't just live in disappointment and say at the beginning of spring, oh, well, God, I've laid it down for you. There's the daffodils. This is nice. I want honor. I want reward. My reward is the honor of God. What does that mean for me as a minister of the gospel? It means salvations. It means authority. It means a backing of heaven. It means God is with me. Picture I gave for Pastor Andrea and everything you guys have been through, I just had this in my heart for just 2 weeks. When it comes, it's like everything, one of you, this is important because this is one of your pastors. And God honors her. And everything your pastor has been through, the devil wants to park it at the beginning of spring and just to leave with a hope of gradual recovery. But that's not latter rain. Latter rain. Latter rain produces the fruit and produces the harvest and produces something better than ever before. It has to, it has to, it has to. We can't dwell or park up at a place of disappointment. And just the world parks up and forms identity based on its experience. People think that's just who I am. It parks. That's what happened to me. I may never be able to forgive that. Or, well, you don't know what I've been through. But when latter rain comes and God rains growth and rains refreshment onto your faithfulness, you can enter into reward and therefore into fruitfulness. Is that good?
Yes.
I know it's, you go for Jesus, you have rejection. You go for Jesus, some of you have lost friends for it and even family. Reward. Is God honors you. You've been speaking badly about your body attacked. Well, I was faithful in the middle of that attack. I didn't give up on Jesus. I kept going. And God says, I want to pour something down. And this scripture in Zechariah, it says, it's God who forms the cloud to make it rain. I think we need to just have an expectancy where we're saying, God, would you form that cloud over my life in the right sense, a cloud of God's blessing, if you like, a canopy of blessing. Will you form that and bring it down onto me now? Because I don't want to stay in that place of identity, of even when we've done good things in cost terms or laying our lives down. It cannot stop there. For you as a church and for me as a church here, it cannot stop that we've been faithful. Faithfulness leads to reward. Faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Your past will only stop you if you park up at the beginning of spring and you're glad the pain is over. Well, if you ask for the latter rain, it says when you read documentaries and things like that, it says the latter rain was crucial for the fruit. Not just, well, maybe, well, it was crucial. You had to have it for the crop from the sea. That you had to have it. We have to have it. I believe our praise and our worship and our faithfulness releases it. We need to have a mindset. And again, this, I hope this is good for you guys, but it's good for me. God says, Dave, if you gave up doing that degree because you love me and you're not selling your integrity. But I haven't stopped there. Oh, well, that's it. What next? He says, no, now come into latter rain. Now come into that, and I'm going to bring. Don't park there, whatever you do. That's just part of the process. Facing rejection as a church, losing friends, hurt, pain, whatever else, whereas you pursue victory, don't park it there. Come into reward. Come into the honouring on your life. When you've laid down that relationship with that guy or that girl because they weren't saved, don't park it there. To get a girl who's pretty is one thing. Get her filled with the Spirit, that's even better. I mean, it's good to have both. As you do those things, don't park. Well, see, the devil says, you're a Christian, you can't have. And Jesus says, no, you're a Christian. Jesus says, you can have life and life in all its fullness. As you as you get through bitterness and you have to forgive someone that's held your past back, right, I've forgiven them, I've done something God wants. Yeah, fine, great, you need to. But it was so that you could come into latter rain. But we stop there. Well, I've forgiven them. That's it. I've forgiven them. If I ever saw them again, I'd smack them on, but I've forgiven them. I'm free. No. You do that, so that. Forgiveness and getting rid of our past and all the rest of it leads us into latter rain, leads us into that fruitfulness. Now, I'm a bit surface on some of these at the moment, because I know there's some implications for our church and fruitfulness as we go forward into some of these things, but it operates at many different levels. But for us as a church, the devil says you're finished. If you're sick and you have an operation or something like that, it can be like there and you've got through. But God says, as you got through, I've only just begun. That's the beginning, not the end. The process and the end is coming into the blessing that comes from the obedience and the cost. You're worth something. Have some dignity in the things of the Spirit. We're not boring little weirdo Christians. We're champions. We have the honor of God on our lives. Amen. Fruitless Freddy wasn't worth going for anyway. He was on the road somewhere else. He didn't intend for Jesus, and he intended you to take him on the road with him. He never intended to conform. I know it's quiet in here, but I've never seen a Christian influence, can I put it this way? I know it's happened in some situations, someone's got saved and all the rest of it. The point is, if you always take the step of faith, never take the alternative, and you'll be all right. You might get away with it sometimes. Pastor Colin, when I got married all those years ago, this was a word over Mary's and my life. Always take the step of faith. Never take the alternative, because the alternative will rob you of latter rain fruitfulness. Okay? Now, I just want to give you one more thing here. God's honor, just in Philippians. And then I'm going to finish. I just hope this is a nice drink along the way. Then I'm going to run off and sit down and let you carry on running. Hallelujah. It's good. I'm this year I'm going to come in to blessing and inheritance. It's time. I've had enough taken. And at that place, I have to deal with my heart, forgive, and not be bitter or resentful or hurt. At that point, I can feel low. Not only have I had to lay down and forgive and get rid of that, at this point, I haven't actually got much for it other than knowing I've done what the Word says, which is good. It's good to know I've forgiven, but I still haven't. I want to get there. I want the blessing of obedience. I want to come into Scripture that says people will look at my life and see that I'm blessed. Decisions we've made over the years for our sons. Joel hit 20 last Saturday. And my other son's 22, Ben. And they're serving God in church this morning. But along the way, we had to make decisions there not to allow certain things into their lives. Now, I know it's God's grace. But here, we're in latter rain over their lives now. They're 20. I want to finish. This is really funny. This is the Apostle Paul. And this makes me laugh. Well, not all of it. Some of it. Philippians 3. He says, Apostle Paul, I love his attitude. That thing Pastor Judah said about humility this morning. And that kind of attitude. And the Apostle Paul's saying, you know, a bit earlier, I consider all these other things that I could have in my life. I consider in 7, it says, 3:7, it says, but whatever was to my profit, graduating, getting a degree, I know he's a smart guy already, but whatever was my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. I know it continues on, but that's a little bit. Just wanted to give you there. Like, God, I don't mind laying it down but I want to know you more as a result. I don't mind not doing this, that, and the other, so long as I've got more of you. So long as there's more power, anointing, authority. So long as I'm seeing people, my influence come. As long as I'm at peace inside. As long as I'm growing in you, I don't mind. But I do mind staying there, because I've lost everything in my past life, that some of which I actually enjoyed. I can't laugh at this anymore. I lost my sense of humour when I got born again. Because if people used to trip over, I used to find it hilarious. And then I get born again, I'm told I can't laugh at people tripping over anymore. You know, I had to, my old sense of humour had to go. I used to find it hilarious if someone drove into the wall. I don't know why. I wasn't born again. I just thought it's hysterical. And my brothers and I, we would just laugh all day if someone hurt themselves. We just thought it's funny. But now I'm born again, I can't laugh at that because I'm a Christian and I'm nice. But, well, what do Christians laugh at? And I struggled for 5 years to find anything that Christians laughed at. And so I needed to come into Latter-rain to get a sense of humour that I could laugh at. See, so it's sometimes, you know, like music. What can I listen to now? And what can't I listen to anymore? So I've laid it down now. So what can I come into? But the most miserable Christian in the world is a person that's laid it all down but not come up through resurrection. Well, where's our resurrection life? Where's our joy? I mean, there's just something here. I know you guys have grown more. But there you go. Anyway, the Apostle Paul saying, I consider it this, that, and the other. And then he says in 12, not that I've already got all this sussed, or have already been made perfect, but I press on. I press on. I don't stay there. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind. Now, that pain in your life, that thing in your life, the thing that the decisions you've made, forgetting that, I press on. I press on. Straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards a goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I've been three times in my life. I'm not pressing on to win. I'm just glad it's over and sorted. But then the Apostle Paul comes along and he says, I want God to grace you to rise up again and to know my grace to press on into fruitfulness from your faithfulness. Amen. I want you to press on into fruitfulness that comes from your faithfulness and all the rest of it. And I'm just going to finish with this, because this is hysterical. So here's the Apostle Paul speaking such profound truths. This just made me laugh this morning. I don't know why. I hope this is renewed sense of humour and not old sense of humour. But he's in about all these things, and you know what Apostle Paul went through, prison, shipwreck. He's encouraging everyone to press on. And then he says in chapter 4, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. He's told them how to do it. And then this is hilarious in 4 verse 2. He says, I plead with Eudia and I plead with Cindy Face to agree with each other in the Lord. So he's got these massive revelations all going on about how he should move with God. And then there's these two people that are falling out, obviously, all over the place. It's like, can I just hang on a minute? There's all this stuff pressing on into reward and going into grace and all those bit. Can I just plead with you two to stop falling out? Can I just plead? You know, you're a bit, you know, we're talking about heaven here. Isn't it interesting how we have to live the two together? We're talking about heaven and breakthrough and reward and Latter-rain and all the rest of it. And there's these two on at each other all the time in the body. And the Apostle Paul, he's kind of like, doing today. He must have to look up and he says, I plead with you. Please give me a break. Get on with each other in the Lord. And then he goes on about rejoicing in the Lord always. Isn't it interesting how in our lives we have the simple, down-to-earth things that can so easily pull us away from the main thing. And God wants to encourage you, lovely, lovely people here this morning. Forget that which is behind. Encourage each other. Stay together. Build one another up. Have each other. Agree in the Lord that as a people, we're not parking here. Agree in the Lord wherever we get to, wherever we come through. We're going to move ahead through 2017 into Latter-rain, into victory, into reward. as a proclamation that leads to manifestation. God, I've proclaimed it for long enough. Now I want to attain it. Now I want it to be here. I want to see it. I want to see it manifest. Here I see no manifestation. Is hope far off? I see obedience and submission. But who knows, submission is misery without a reason to be like that. Okay, guys? I hope that's helpful. That's all I've got. But I hope it's all right. And I hope it helps you come into that place. I don't want to pray for everyone individually. Can I just pray and then hand back to Pastor Judith? Is that okay? Is that all right? Come on, let's stand up. Not because there's anything spiritual in that sense right now. It's just I don't want you to fall asleep. You might as well stand up. Sit down again if you want. I don't mind. You won't be beyond the Spirit's reach. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your people here. And Father, I just pray that your word would rest in hearts and give hope and give courage. And Father God, just where there's been storms in people's lives, we speak peace, be still, so that we can see horizons again, so we can see destiny again, so we can see hope. Father, where the winter's over in periods of our lives, where the winter has stopped and spring has come, we don't just want to enter into spring and sit down. We want to come into spring, come into the latter rain, and take hold of the fruit, and take hold of the blessing, and take hold of the reward for that which we've laid down. And Father God, we expect a good harvest this year of souls, of anointing, of authority in our personal lives. You know, it's just God saying that there's someone that you've just been battling all the time with doubt all the time and low self-worth, and you feel like you're obeying God, you feel like you're laying stuff down, but it's almost like nothing good ever seems to happen. And God's saying, take hold of your latter rain. Start walking away from where you've laid that down. Forget that now. You've done that. You've passed that test. That put a seed of blessing and fruitfulness into the ground. Come into that. God waters that. And you can reap your harvest in whatever area that is. Especially where there's you know you're supposed to be in faith and rejoice always. But I just break depression off people. In Jesus' name, I break depressive thoughts, negative thoughts, feeling horrid inside. I break those things in the name of Jesus this morning, that we truly would rejoice and we truly would be free as we come into fruitfulness, latter rain, so that everything we've sown can come forth in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Thanks for having us. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Father, we ask for rain. Amen. Amen. Because I really witness with what Pastor Dave has brought. Because for me, we've sown a lot. And, you know, we're not going to spend all our days from here on in to going to glory just sowing. There is a time to sow and a time to reap. Even farmers know that. And so we've got to think like differently then. Because I think that's what the challenge is from the Lord this morning, to start to expect a harvest from what you've sown. How about that? I mean, I look at some of you guys, you are so faithful in serving in different ministries and are faithful in the workplace, witnessing, faithful in your giving. Faithful to show up when you don't feel like it. Faithful to praise. All those things. And God's saying, it's time to reap. That's why I love this word. It's time to reap. And it's faith that takes hold of that. You've got to take hold of that differently to just listening. Because the word doesn't work in our lives just by listening. We've got to say, right, God's saying. It's time for us not just to be faithful. We will always need to be faithful, you know, and we will always sow, because that's life. But I want to see the reaping of what has been sown, don't you? I want it for the Lord's glory. But you know, our word for the year, latter days will be greater than your former. You've spoken it twice over David and Pastor Andrew. You've spoken it in this word. That means a confirmation that it's going to be better. Amen. And so whilst you're kind of standing there, it's a very simple word. Don't be flummoxed by the simplicity. This is where the power is. It's in the simple. Take it. My time to reap. Lord, I accept it. I'm going to take that. I don't know about you. Do you want to take it? Just tell him, Lord, I take that word. It's time to reap. It's time to reap from what I've sown. Time to reap of the promises. It's time to reap in prayer. It's time to reap with souls. It's time to reap financially. It's time to reap in health. It's time to reap with my children. It's time to reap and all the good things you've promised. Come on. Thank you, Jesus.